in the 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Bible teacher and translator Dr. Paul Esposito and Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. Dr. Esposito is the translator of the English Majority Text, New Testament, as well as the Apostles' Bible, a modern English translation of the Greek Septuagint, Old Testament, both available through Amazon Publishing. And now here with today's broadcast is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor of Island Community Church in Merritt Island. Along with my associate, Pastor Darren Solano, we greet you here today. Guys and gals and youngins, thanks for joining us. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Tuesday to join us as we together sit under the Word of God. Let's see what the awesome work the Lord is going to do here today as we are in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 20. And I've entitled this, The Pharisees Knew, because that's where we're going to start here today. That I'm going to prove the point here through the Word of God that the Pharisees knew exactly who Jesus was. They weren't unbelievers. They knew he was the Son of God. They knew he was the Messiah. And others knew as well. We read in John chapters 11 and 12. So that's where we're going to start here today. The second half of this sermon, which you'll hear tomorrow on Wednesday, will be Acts chapter 20. But let's get into the Word now. For more info on this church, you can go to islandcommunitychurch.net. We had a visitor which came to the church this past weekend solely because they read our statement of faith online. And that's just music to my ears. I can't stress how important it is to know what a church believes about Jesus, because it's all about him. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's all about him. Okay, let's get into the Word. We're in Acts chapter 20. The Pharisees knew. Now, we're in Acts chapter 20. Let's summarize a little bit and see where we left off after skipping a week. We've been going through, that's what we're doing here at the church. We're going through the book of Acts verse by verse. Like I said, Revelation's on the radio. Daniel's going to start Wednesday night, a week from Wednesday. Now, we left off in chapter 19 with Apostle Paul in Ephesus and with another riot taking place. Then we saw some unbelievers try to get in on this Christianity thing and to cast a demon out of somebody. And then they got their rear ends kicked, remember? And the Bible says they ran out of that house naked, all seven of them, and the demon gave them a legendary whooping. Now, let's pick it up here in chapter 20, and let's see what happens next to the Apostle Paul here on the road. He's on his third missionary journey. Now, chapter 20, verse 1. Now, after the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself and embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now, when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece, and he stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him, as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Interesting, isn't it, that followers of the same God are plotting to kill at every turn someone who's following the same God. I mean, who does that, right? I mean, so that's either stupid, ignorant, or just plain evil. We're going to find out it's not ignorance. It's stupid and evil. But how can that be? Now, the answer is key. The answer is they refuse to confess that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Although the case can be made that they knew exactly who he was. Okay? The Pharisees knew exactly who Jesus was. Now, John 12:42, as a matter of fact, let's turn there.
Flip over to the one book before the book of Acts, the Gospel of John, to chapter 12, starting in verse 42. Now, I'm going to make the case here on this Sunday morning. The Pharisees knew that Jesus was the Son of God, and they knew he was the Messiah. Let's prove that now. John chapter 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Oh, you see, they knew who Jesus was, but they were scared what their neighbor was going to think. So they wouldn't confess him, but they knew who he was. But because of, now in that case, it was just Pharisees. But you can add your own little dot, dot, dot to your own personal life. You know who Jesus is, but because of whatever particular reason, you don't confess him. So again, verse 42, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. See, they were worried about getting thrown out of church. Imagine that, getting thrown out of church for believing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Who does that? And yet, there's a little pamphlet out there in this foyer. Hopefully it's still out there. It's called The Trail of Blood. Now, the Catholics have killed over 50 million Christians. 50 million Christians throughout the years. So it's not just Pharisees who have been guilty of this. Verse 43 here in this text, John 12, 43. So they were afraid about getting put out of the synagogue, but then it says, for they loved the praise of men rather than the praise of God. So they wanted people, they'd rather be friends with the people and have people talk good about them than confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. So they believed him. They believed who he was, but out of fear, they refused to confess him because they didn't want to get thrown out of church and because they were more pleased with people speaking good about them. Now, you might as well just stay an unbeliever before you do that, right? If you're not willing to confess him, you might as well just stay an unbeliever because you haven't done what it takes to have your name written in the book of life. The Bible says demons believe, and they shudder or tremble. My translation says demons bristle at the name of Jesus. Now check out this verse, one chapter before this, chapter 11 of John, verse 45. John 11, 45. It says, then many of the Jews who had come to Mary, that is Lazarus' sister, Mary, and had seen the things that Jesus did, believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees, and they told them the things Jesus had did. All right, so some people saw Jesus raise up someone that's been dead for 4 days, and they ran to the local branch of the ACLU and ratted him out. Who does that? Answer, those that don't have the gift of faith. It doesn't matter who it is standing in front of you. Verse 47, then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council together and says, what shall we do? Or in other words, all right, what do we do with this guy? He's raising up the dead. What do we do with this guy? What do we do with this Jesus? Look what they said, for this man works many signs. All right, so there's their first self-incriminating confession and admission. Jesus does supernatural signs that no mere man could ever do. You see, out of your own mouth condemns you. Now here comes their second confession, verse 48. If we let him alone, and I appreciate Pastor Darren speaking this one to me, showed this verse to me a few weeks ago. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away our place and nation. Really? How about if we leave him alone, everyone would be deceived? I mean, wouldn't you say that if you didn't believe who he was? But they said, no, if we leave him alone, everyone's going to become Christian because everyone's going to believe him. That's what they said. Now, these guys knew exactly who Jesus was. They knew he was the Messiah, but they were too proud and too arrogant to confess his name and to receive him as Lord. They didn't want to give up their prestige and their power. Now, that to me sounds like a politician. How about you? And I'm not Republican and I'm not Democrat. So I don't care who you are, I'm going to call you out. From Mitch McConnell to Dianne Feinstein to Ruth Ginsburg. You see, you refuse to give up this power that you have. They didn't want to give theirs up. But the Pharisees will do anything to protect their position. Lie, cheat, steal, and they will kill, just like John F. Kennedy and Robert Kennedy. And if it wasn't for a turning of the head, Donald J. Trump as well. He was just a whisper away. Now look at how prophetic this Jewish ruler was. Keep reading. John 11:49. Keep reading. Now one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, he said to them, "You know nothing at all. Nor do you consider it's expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish." All right, so there's his third confession. They knew that Jesus was going to die for the people, and not just some plain, ordinary death, something that no one would remember come morning light. Now, although not in this text, their fourth confession would be having some guards guard his tomb after he died. Really? What are you afraid of? The man's dead. What are you afraid of? Because they knew exactly who he was. They knew who he was. If Jesus is the Son of God, then these cats are out of a job. There's a new sheriff in town, and his name is Jesus. A lot of people can't handle that. We saw what they did to him. Now back again to John 11:51. Now, this he did not say on his own authority. Now, he's talking about this high priest who prophesied. This he did not say on his own. What a condemnation that is. The scripture's telling you God gave this to him. This he did not say on his own authority. But being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And not only for the nation, but he would gather together in one the children of God. Who is this guy, Moses? No, he's an unbeliever. He's an unbeliever. He would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. So he prophesied, meaning God gave him this information. That to know the future with a short burst of knowledge. So what did the Pharisee do with that knowledge? Keep reading verse 53. It says, then from that day forward, they plotted to put him to death. So you can't say that they didn't know. They knew all too well who Jesus was. But they made a choice. Just like you know all too well who Jesus is. And you too have to make a choice. Not just the Pharisees, but you as well. You don't have to be perfect. You just need to make a choice. You need to just believe God at His Word. That's all that's required of you. He's presented the evidence to you. You know Jesus Christ is Lord. This book was written by eyewitnesses who saw Him alive after He died. All that's required of you is to believe God at His Word and to believe that this man in the glory is the Son of God. And that by calling on His name, you too can have eternal life. That's all you have to do. He's looking for a few good men, women, and children who will believe Him at His Word and will do what He says. Now, one last thing here. Let me show you the consequences for refusing the love of God shown to you through His Son. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Okay, when he says lawless one, he's talking about the Antichrist, who we also call sometimes the man of sin. So that's who he's referring to. He's talking about the end of the age when the Antichrist is on the scene. Now, I put it to you just a minute ago. This is the consequences for refusing the love of God in your life. Okay? Verse 9. Now, the coming of the Antichrist is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among, meaning he's deceived people that are going to die. People at the end of the age are going to be tricked and deceived. No one's willingly going to walk to hell. They're going to be deceived. They're going to think that something is something while something is actually, something else. Unrighteous deception among those who perish. Notice the next word. It's the word because. Do you see that? Because they did not receive love. You see, you're not going to die at the end of the age for your sins because someone else already died for your sins. All you have to do is receive Him. Jesus died in your place. The substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. Jesus comes in and says, I will exchange to you my perfect righteousness and holiness, and I'll take your sins from you. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. That's what He's offering here today. That's what He means here by love. God would let and allow and send. They had a camp meeting up in heaven, and the decision was the Son of God had to die. Because He loves you. Jesus, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. It's the most easiestly to remember, recognizable sentence in the history of the universe. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Love! That's what hangs over humanity today. The love of God. What do you do with the love of God? I'll take your sins in exchange for my righteousness. When God looks at you and sees His Son and says, enter into the joy of your Lord. We read in the book of Revelation chapter 3, it says, everyone who overcomes, I will grant to them to sit with me on my throne. As I also overcame and sat down with my heavenly Father on His throne. Now that sounds like pretty good news to me. What do you think? Those are some examples of the love of God. Now, here's the consequences for not receiving that or believing it. Now, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because They did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. And for this reason, that is, refusing love. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion so that they will believe the lie. Now, what the lie is, you just got to go up a couple of verses later in your own studies. Read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, where the Antichrist sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the lie, is believing this man with whom he says that he is. He sits as God in a rebuilt temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion so that they should believe the lie and so that they all might be condemned. The King James Version says damned, who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. All I can say to that is receive the love of God today. If you're upset that God loves you, let me encourage you today that you've been deceived. You've been deceived if you think that way. Who is ever upset that God loves them? God loves you and wants you to spend eternity with him. He's provided the way, and the way is his son, who said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Then he says, no one can go to Jehovah except through him. So that's the end result at the end of the age, perhaps in your lifetime, at least I believe in the lifetime of your children or grandchildren. Okay, let me move on here now. Now Jesus, even on the cross, said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. So these are the dangers of knowing who Jesus is, but refusing him anyway, refusing to confess. We read of one man refusing because he had a lot of money, and the Lord told him to give it all away and to follow him. Remember the text I quoted a moment ago, John 12:42. Nevertheless, among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they refused to confess him, lest they should be thrown out of the synagogue. For they loved the praises of men more than the praise of God. Now, Darren said this in my office this past week. He said to me, believing is not enough. You've got to confess. And he's right. That's why we read in the Bible, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Which is another reason why baptism is so important. The Lord Jesus said, whoever confesses, here we go again. Whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. That's Matthew 10:32. All right, so that's why we believe the Pharisees knew who Jesus was. And imagine that, knowing who he was and is, but refusing to confess that. All right, now let's go back to the book of Acts. Let's go back to chapter 20. Now we'll pick it up in verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, notice now, the churches were meeting on Sunday now, not on Saturday, okay? We see it now. That's what he told when he was in Corinth. He said, now on the first day of the week, when they pass around the offering plate, don't forget the poor people down there in Jerusalem that don't have two sticks to rub together. Well, that's a loose paraphrase of what he said. But on the first day of the week's not a paraphrase. The church met on Sunday. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, right? To do this in remembrance of me, right? That's what they did. Paul, ready to depart the next day, he spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. All right, now check out this long-winded preacher. Verse 8. Now there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in the window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep. You see, I got a problem, or I got something to fix that problem around here. I just crown you with my gavel here if you fall asleep. No, I'm only kidding. I would never do that. Nice, quiet guy like me, I would never do that. So, this is verse 9. Sinking into a deep sleep, he was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story, and he was taken up D-E-A-D. Dead. So this young guy falls asleep at Paul's teaching, falls out of a third-story window, and apparently dies. Verse 10. But Paul went down, he fell on him. Same as what Elijah did when they brought to him the child that had died. He stretched himself out over that child. Now it sort of looks like Paul's doing the same thing as Elijah. Paul went down, he fell on him and embraced him and said, "Do not trouble yourself, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even until daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little bit comforted. Boy, there's the understatement of the day, right? Guy falls out of a third-story building. Lord only knows what happened to him. What, did he break his neck or something? So it says they were a little bit comforted, I'm sure. So now we've seen a son of God raise the dead. Naturally, he's God. We've seen Peter raise the dead. Now we're seeing Paul raise the dead as well. These men had extraordinary powers. And that's why all these charlatans out here in the world today want to call themselves apostles as well. We read in chapter 8 of Acts of someone named Simon the sorcerer, who when he saw the apostles laying hands on people, they received the Holy Spirit, he offered them money and said, "Give me this great power also, so that on anyone I lay hands, they too may receive the Holy Spirit." See, people crave power, from politicians to Pharisees to people in the church.
You've been listening to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Esposito from Merritt Island, Florida. To contact Pastor Paul, write to him at elected77@gmail.com. The church's website is islandcommunitychurch.net. The videos of Pastor Paul's sermons are available on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.